You are now tuned into The Lounge on the Rockbox Radio.
Is it enough, though? Do you guys feel, like, content now? Or do you think the rest of the world does?
No, I mean, it's a start. But, I mean, that's how everything goes. We were at least glad that they even gave a shit enough to go that far, because it looked like they weren't going to charge him.
Yeah.
And it looked like they weren't going to find him, like they were going to let him get away. So, the rest is dope. I was shitty that he was allowed out on bail, but whatever.
I saw something about how Floridians are entitled to bail unless something.
Yeah.
Unless they can prove they're a flight risk, or unless they can prove they are a danger to the community, so...
Yeah, they have really kooky laws down there. Like, things are clearly
right?
different. clearly different. I don't know. For me, I'm not going to say it's enough. I'm going to say I'm somewhat satisfied. I mean, it's still, you know, a tragedy. The way that it all went down is, like, really kind of fucked up. But I think that we were heard. And he is, you know, he was brought into custody, and now things, the legal system can do what it does. You know, the quote-unquote justice system can do what it does. And that's a whole different story. It's a whole different conversation we can have. But, I mean, I see progress, which means that the people were heard. So, I don't know, that makes me feel pretty good.
What do you think? I'm sorry.
I think, it's a good start for right now, but once that day comes in court, when he's found guilty, that's when I think everybody will be happy.
But you know what? See, that's the other thing. It's sort of like, for me, I guess I just feel like, let's look at all the evidence. Let's really, you know, get this into, you know, in front of a jury, in front of a judge, get it in a court, because I think everyone basically wants him to pay. But at the same time, like, that's not our decision, you know? So, I mean, I know everybody doesn't really go for the legal system, but it's the system that we have, you know, like how it works. And so I just feel like at least we're there, and then let's put all the evidence out on the table, you know, the facts, and stop just talking about sort of hearsay or what you think, or, you know, opinions. At least the facts can be heard and then move on from there. But I don't think it's anybody's place to just be like, he should, you know, automatically get the death penalty or whatever.
I agree with you as far as, like, just letting the justice system do what it does. I do kind of feel like it probably won't be as fair as we would like it to be. But I do want to hear, like, I do want to hear the evidence. My only concern about the evidence is I don't think it's as complete as it should be. I think that the cops jacked it up in the beginning, and so therefore there are certain things that we probably won't ever know either the truth about or just won't know, period. And that is a major concern for me, because how are you supposed to make an informed decision as a juror, and you really aren't going to get all the facts presented in a case, but, you know, that applies to any subject. I think I'm a little upset that it took them so long, but I do like that the prosecutor is supposed to be, like, this big, super aggressive, like, prosecutor.
I think, you know, just kind of playing devil's advocate for George Zimmerman, I am in no way, you know, a fan or whatever, but I'm kind of interested to see what jury selection would go like, you know what I mean? Because it's so, like, public, you know, so it's just sort of like, just playing devil's advocate, is it even possible for him to get, like,
a fair trial?
trial? I mean, I don't know. It's so skewed at this point. You're right. Like, it's skewed kind of on both ends.
Yeah. So I think somebody was saying that the initial idea was to try to get it moved to, like, a different venue. But then somebody was saying, well, there's, like, really no point in that. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a public spectacle now that you're not going to have an easy time of finding a place where there are enough people who are still kind of clueless about it to really give him a fair trial. Mm-hmm. So that's something that will definitely turn out to be interesting, because I'm like, well, I can't say this, but I feel like the majority of black people are definitely going to be like, nah, I feel some type of way about this. And
right.
So that kind of takes that out.
And it'll be super noticeable if there are, like, no
yeah.
black jurors.
So, I don't know. It's kind of a toss up. I also want to see
old white.
All white.
Maybe a couple Hispanics, like, but yeah, mostly all white. Very old. Yeah.
And it's, I don't want this jury to result in like a hung jury either. I want there to be like a final, definitive answer about how they feel he is guilty or how they feel he is not guilty. And then if they want to all come out and like write books about it or something,
right?
They always
it'll
do.
Be okay.
Right.
Is this is it going to be televised, you guys know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think they have some law or whatever that they televise every court case or whatever. So,
that's going to
yeah
be awesome. Somebody DVR.
I don't know if it's a law, but it's...
I'm excited.
Kels is usually on that.
But I think even if he gets off, I think something bad is going to happen to him.
I don't think he'll ever be able to like live the rest of his life in peace.
He needs to go to like South America or someplace.
Yeah,
it's not
he
happening.
Needs to live abroad. Because honestly, like, really, there was already a bounty on his head. And even if he makes it to jail, like, to actually, if he goes to prison,
they're going to get him.
Yeah. You know? A child killer now.
Yeah, oh,
and he
man
didn't do anything. Had a can of tea,
I mean,
and some Skittles.
In his defense, although it's kind of difficult because he's a white Hispanic, so maybe the what are, I don't even know what they're, Aryan?
That's
the white one.
Oh, because he's white?
Well,
they're
he's a white Hispanic.
Because,
they
don't.
Well, they don't.
He's Hispanic.
You're not white.
So
you're Hispanic.
Not.
He's not safe at
they
all.
They don't want him. They don't want him.
Ain't
no home for white Hispanics.
So.
I don't know. His last name is Zimmerman.
A Jewish name?
Wasn't he adopted or something?
And if it is Jewish, they ain't have that either.
Not, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's messed
right
up all the way.
Forget it.
All right, well, so pretty much it's a wrap for Zimmerman. No such hope. I wish we had, like, sorry, we're a little short this afternoon on people. We're supposed to have at least a couple more male opinions.
Yeah.
And three more.
And we don't.
So that means that you have to tweet. Tweet us.
Yes.
Tweet us. Tell us what your thoughts are. Yeah, let us know.
Let us know at the Rock Box. I'm trying to read the small print, and I can't right now. All right. So hit us up whenever you get a chance. And let us know that you're listening or what your thoughts are on the subject. Thank you. I guess we'll move on to the next topic now. Okay, so how do you guys feel about the whole Occupy movement? This was meant to be for last week, so it was going to be like a money night since it was tax day.
I'm kind of disappointed a little bit now. Because really, now you really don't hear nothing about it. Like, it's dying down.
It's been going on for so long that now everyone's kind of used to it. It's just like, okay, well, there's these random people out here, but I think it's lost its novelty and it doesn't seem as extreme anymore. I was just in D.C. like a few weeks ago, and they're occupying the middle of like the whole Capitol area where all the tourists are, and it's just like you ride by and it's like, oh, there's all the tents, but it's kind of like, who cares? Mm-hmm. They've been there for so long, you're used to it, you know, move along.
You know what always struck me as interesting is my issue has always been one, you're supposed to have the right to like peaceful protest, right? And yet, for a while, there were like news being put out that the cops were like coming in and pepper spraying and beating people or whatever. And I was always like, this is kind of crazy that we're supposed to live in a nation where we have all these rights and all these supposed freedoms, and like these are people that are just, you know, just kind of upset about the way things are and they're being like abused.
Well, the problem was that they were being in places that they weren't allowed to be past a certain point. So, and that was kind of my thing with the movement, because you already know that you can't be in the park past 11. So you can't be there. You're going to get asked to leave, and then you're not going to leave, and then they're going to have to use force to make you leave, and then there you have the spectacle. But I feel like you need the spectacle low-key to get attention to your movement, so, you know, it wouldn't be as dramatic and effective, in my opinion, if you didn't have people getting pepper sprayed and drug out and arrested.
That's true. I don't think it would have been as big of a deal if they didn't have that whole interaction.
I think they need to do something different.
Well, I don't really, I don't even understand what they're doing. I would love for some occupier to like weigh in. I actually know someone, but I'm not going to tweet her. But anyway, I just feel like I know that there's discontent, but it's kind of like, what is it that, I feel like they're just wanting to let it be known that they're salty, mm-hmm. but they're not giving any demands or giving any direction or, you know, like just saying like, we're salty and we want you to do X, Y, Z. Like they're just merely out there like, we're salty and we're broke and the economy is fucked up. Mm-hmm. But everybody already knew that and everyone in power doesn't give a fuck because they're not.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I feel like it kind of popped up, and to be quite honest, that's why I'm sitting here like kind of silent, because I'm really not that clear on the ultimate goal, you know what I mean? Or I don't know, I don't think I'm educated enough on it, because it seemed like it kind of wasn't even making sense.
The thing was, like, the first thing was that people wanted to know, like, okay, well, what is the purpose? And I don't think anybody ever came up with the sole purpose. I think they didn't have any, like, demands. They were just kind of like, well, we want things to change, but without giving, like, as you guys mentioned, specific directives or ideas or any contribution whatsoever towards what they wanted to change. And I also remember another thing that made me doubt the whole idea of the movement was I saw, like, this 1% versus the 99%. Like, it was this Wall Street guy and this Occupy Wall Street lady. And he was basically like, you know, you're sitting here telling me I need to pay more in taxes. And he was like, at the end of the day, I contribute to charities and I employ this number of people. How many people do you employ? And she didn't really have anything to say. And I'm kind of like, well, this is like, you're getting treated for one. But for two, like, you just sound like an idiot. You know, and that kind of made me reevaluate the whole situation, because I'm like, now you're at a point where you have the voice. You have, like, media there to be able to say, this is the issue and this is the solution. Give it to me now. And you're blubbering.
Yeah, there should definitely be more direction. There should be more, like, let's, you know, get lobbying together to, like, deal with this whole student loan debt situation, or free education options, or let's, you know, like, directly figure out a solution or some kind of solution to unemployment, or, you know, just mm-hmm. whatever. But they're not really presenting any actual options, so it's kind of like, we hear you that you're shitty, but now what? So I don't know, I think this kind of brings out my low-key Republican side.
Yeah.
Especially with the tax thing, like the whole like point about like, should rich people pay more in taxes? And I don't think they should. I feel like everyone should be taxed at the same rate, and that would make rich people contribute more by virtue of how much they make.
Exactly.
I don't understand why you would, you know, pay just way, way, way more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're contributing into a pot that you can't draw from.
Right.
And that's kind of shitty.
The thing to me is, like, I actually think your idea of everybody giving the same amount of money would be a great idea to me, because then we're all equally paying. Because then I tend to feel like you're kind of making it hard for people who have, like, tried to make something of themselves. You know, like, not to say that there is no such thing as old money, but a lot of these people are new money, too, and they've, you know, worked hard to get through school, worked hard to build their businesses, worked hard to do whatever it is that they do. And so for people to now come in and say, well, due to all your hard work, now you need to give us money.
Right.
Not to say that the people who need the money aren't working as hard, but, like, that doesn't entitle you.
Right. Why should there be a penalty, you know,
yeah.
for your hard work and your, you know, the fact that you are, what's the word? The fact that basically you've made this money, you know, you've made this business, you know, whatever, and why should you be penalized, you know, for that? So,
but it still goes to back where to where I can't even talk today. But
like,
the people
right,
that
we're having
issues right now. But the people that don't have the money to pay those taxes, you know, because I know a lot of families that just are struggling, yeah, check by check.
But
you know,
me as a rich person, is that my issue? Because that sounds like a personal problem.
Yes, Republican Tory.
No, I'm saying.
No, I mean,
ideally,
I agree.
We all want people, everybody to have everybody else's best interest at heart, I guess. You know, and be able to say, gee, I know my money is going towards helping feed a family of four, but on the other hand, I couldn't help myself but think, like, well, what the heck is this mother of a family of four doing? Like, why is she having four kids and she can't afford to take care of them anyway?
And also, why am I contributing money to this chick over here with four kids who lives in the projects who's driving in the Benz?
I don't know any tricks.
The thing about it is, a lot of people who are out there who are receiving these benefits, you know, and they don't, they should not, you know, like the woman who won the lottery, and yet she was still collecting food stamps, and she really thought like it was okay, and it's just like.
I mean, I think, you know, there's a huge issue of how to monitor these, you know, programs, welfare, and, you know, just other government-assisted type things, because there are obviously people who do need the assistance. There are other people who genuinely can't pay the taxes, you know, can't pay things, can't really buy food, really do need food stamps, really do need Medicaid, whatever.
Well, again, what about the people that are, you know, some happen to their child, the child is in the hospital because of, you know, a disease or cancer or whatever, and all this money's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I agree.
So
it's interesting. I mean, because I actually was having a conversation with my dad about this, because he is completely fine with paying more taxes and subsidizing other people's lifestyles through these programs that he would not be eligible to use. And he just feels like they need the help anyway. Like, you know, it's like if it happens that you have to go to the hospital, if you don't have a doctor, or, you know, you don't have insurance to go to the doctor, then you have to go to the ER. And I feel like some Republicans will feel like, no, you don't have to go to the ER. Too bad for you. Which is kind of a shitty way to look at it. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. Because it still is the same concept of you are paying for someone else's, you know, lifestyle. But I don't know. I feel like we're a society where we expect people who have money to provide for those who don't. I mean, like, just look at celebrities. We like track how much they give in charity and all that stuff. When we look at Oprah sideways, when she this many millions and not, you know, tens, hundreds of millions. And I don't know why it is that we, you know, because that's not an obligation. It's something that she chooses to do if she wants to do it with her money. But we look at it like, bitch, you owe us.
I am definitely one of those people that kind of feels like the laws need to be more stringent for who can receive certain things, because I remember there was like this big uproar somewhere about they were going to do drug testing before to make sure that welfare recipients weren't like on drugs. And I was like, that, you know, people were up in arms, but I was like, that doesn't sound like a bad plan to me. Like, if you're using the money that I paid the taxes to buy heroin, I have a problem with that.
Well, but then what about the fact that that's someone's parents and they're not using heroin? And now they don't have that money coming into the crib.
I get that, but I don't know. There has to be some sort of medium where you can be able to say, I don't know, maybe if the kids have a caregiver or a grandmother or something, or I realize all kids don't have that. And, you know, obviously you don't want to put all kids in the foster system or anything, but there has to be some way to be able to enable people to help themselves get out of these situations without enabling them further to go further down the rabbit hole. Yeah.
But I think, you know, as a person who kind of works with this population, I don't know, I feel like there's lots of programming, there's lots of things that are out there, but people aren't, they're not receptive to it, they're not interested in it. You know, there's this whole culture of just being comfortable, like, this is what I'm used to, like, right, they're very content with where they are, and so they really don't strive for anything better. And there's a ton of programs out there that are just, I mean, all you have to do is just show a little bit of interest, you know, and
see,
people
and
can
that's
help.
What I wasn't sure about was accessibility, about whether or not people could actually, you know, say they do decide to get off heroin, which is my drug of choice today, not literally, but figuratively. You know, then they're like, today I'm going to kick heroin, and then it's like, okay, now what? like, where do I go from here?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely programs to try to assist people. And I'm not going to even say, you know, that it's like you can just help the whole world off these programs. But I do think that there are programs that aren't really utilized by people. And so there are certain companies that partner with agencies to give people a job, you know, to try to like transition them, people with criminal histories. And like the programs are there. But I think it's two issues. I think one, it's not being utilized by the people. And then I think two, people may not be aware. Because it's also one of those things where you have to sort of know someone who knows someone to know that there are these programs out here, but I think that that's probably the two issues as to why, I don't know, as to why you don't see people sort of striving for more.
Well, I don't think people all the time like see a huge problem with their situation.
True.
Like, I mean, that's how they grew up, that's how it is in their neighborhood, that's how their whole family is, that's how, you know, like, it's just what they see. So I don't feel like it's so easy.
Well, that's that whole being content thing. You know, so it's like you're good where you are. So clearly other people want you to strive, you know, for more and to do better. And they're like, you can do better. But it's like, hey, ain't nothing wrong with this. Like,
yeah, I mean, I remember I was like tutoring this girl and I was trying to figure out a way to motivate her to like want to do better in school. And I'd be, you know, trying to discuss like, well, you know, you definitely want to go to college because you want to get this type of job that allows you to, at this point I was even like, fuck it, we're just going to talk about money incentives, like, don't you want to be able to buy a car or like get cable or like just do like all the type of like stuff that you see on TV or whatever. And she's like, well, I mean, my mom ain't got cable, that's fine. And it's like, it kind of, it requires her to look at her current situation and her mom specifically, who she loves, and say, there's something wrong with how you're living. Mm-hmm. And most people aren't going to do that. So,
yeah.
But see, I think we need to go back to the 99 versus 1%. Because, I mean, now we're talking about welfare and all this other stuff. But yet, to me, what I'm seeing is businesses, especially CEOs and presidents and so on, to me, everybody's getting greedy, and because they want more money. There's nothing wrong with people wanting more money, but then yet their force or what they feel is that they need to let go of so many people because they feel like, you know, if there's 10 people working here, and, you know, let's say we're making like $10 million a year, profit. I feel like maybe we cut two of these people, as you know, we have eight people doing these other two people's jobs.
I have a question.
And we're still making more money since we let two people off. We're still getting, you know, whatever their salary is.
Kind of like, I feel like that's smart business. And then to not do that means that you're back in the whole view that society has that you are obligated to. You know, I don't want to say give charity because we're talking about people working for their money, but you're obligated to keep these people on so that they can be employed at the detriment of your business, because now you're making less money. I just feel like, you know, that's the point.
That's the main thing that I don't understand. Like, as a business person, you can't honestly, if these were your big enterprises, if these were your babies, you know, these things that you have thought of, you have put all your time, all your money, you've missed your kid's soccer practice, you've maybe missed the birth of a kid, you've given up on being able to sleep 8 hours a night. You know, building up a business would take a toll on you, and at what point would you be able to go, like, I owe somebody else something? Like, why would I feel that way? You know what I mean? Especially, like, you, in theory, you should be able to say that everybody should be entitled to a job. Everybody is not entitled to a job. It's just not something that everybody can ever have because there aren't enough jobs, period. So at what point, I guess, are business people supposed to say, okay, well, I'm not a business, I'm a charity. Like, their main interest is looking out for their bottom line. So at what point does it become...
I think of it. I think that when so many people lose jobs and everything starts becoming scarce, I feel like the people that don't have nothing, their whole mentality is, I got to survive out here. So I'm going to do something bad or do something to survive out here. So I see that he has money. I'm going to get that.
You know what,
I'm going to have to do something bad to him.
McDonald's is always hiring.
I can't.
For real. I was out of a job for an extended period of time, and my dad was like, I know what you're looking for. And he was like, the only issue is, if you're not getting it, you need something. And he was like, all I can tell you is that McDonald's is always hiring. You have to decide whether you want to make some money or you're just going to be content not having a job. I was not prepared to go work at McDonald's, so I was content to not have a job. Luckily for me, I came up on a job shortly thereafter, but that was real talk. Like, that was the realest advice anybody could ever give me. And after seeing that picture that Kelly posted on Instagram earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody can have a job somewhere.
Now that the strain of that, I will just go ahead and admit that I was, in fact, at the Factory Gentlemen's Club last night. As I have been for the better portion of the Saturdays of the month. And there was an unfortunate stripper on the stage who... But you know what, at the end of the day, she probably made more money that day than I did, so fuck.
Right, exactly. And I don't really, I'm not an advocate.
She was struggling, but she was hitting those handstands, which, if I headstand, I mean pussy popping on said headstand. And now, remind me that I can't forward this link to my mom.
We will do that later. Upset as you may be, like, you always have options if you're unemployed. Agreed. You can either go back to school, or you can just decide that there's something you're good at, or something you know how to do.
I can't agree with that.
Yeah.
Going back to school is whack.
Because to me, it's not an affordable thing. In order to go to school, you gotta stop working, or you gotta magically do some shit where you're going to school part-time and you're, like, gonna graduate in 7 years, or... you're going to work part-time, which you're not going to afford whatever you couldn't afford in the first place. And then McDonald's isn't even really probably affording, definitely not affording the lifestyle of the woman with the four kids that we talked about.
But it's not, right. Okay.
And she has to let go of the welfare and the unemployment.
Yeah, now that's the problem.
Salary, and that's not happening.
A lot of kids are out here saying, what's the point of going to school? There's no jobs. There's nothing out here for me. So I might as well just kick it or do this or do that.
You know what? Let's write that shit down for next week, because we're going to talk about that. But I was going to say, you know, as far as...
But you know what? Anyway, 8 degrees, I don't care if my kids only get a G.
Well, yes, we will write that down for next week. But I do think that... I think that, you know, when we're talking about people being content, nobody... has that, like, hustle mentality. Like, you have to have some type of hustle about yourself to sort of get what you need, you know, whether it's you stripping, whether you working at McDonald's, like, whether it has to be something. But the problem,
everybody can't be no stripper, whatever
your hustle is.
Stripper was at McDonald's. I told you the story. Oh, yeah. When I was at the drive-thru at McDonald's, she gave me my food and handed me a flyer and said, come check me out on Monday.
Hustle, yes. Hustle it
off. I'm not mad at that.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. But it's like, you know, you can't even be mad at that. But it's the people who are sort of, and this all falls back on this entire conversation. You know, if I had a lot of money, I would feel some sort of way about having to give the money, because I know that there are a vast majority of people who are just sort of content to be sitting around collecting said money. And I think that this is comical, but I'm kind of serious. There needs to be some type of Big brother, little brother, big sister type program, adopt a family type program, so that I can lay my eyes on you,
right?
And know that at least this is where the money is going to. Mm-hmm. Because even you look at, you know, you give money to charities, and then you hear about people running off with the money, or the kids never receiving it, or whatever.
You would give money to your cousin and see your cousin running off with the money.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like if that's the way we want to play it, like, I don't want to just put my money into just a random pool, not to know whatever happened. You know, if I live in Chicago, Illinois, then I know that I'm responsible for these six families over here. And I know that sounds crazy. I mean, it's just, I'm just throwing it out there. But I just don't feel comfortable with the idea of having people to put money into a pool to never see it again. Yeah.
Even giving taxes, just not taking care of families. It's for the police, the firemen, to construction on the roads.
But if everybody
repairs on whatever.
If everybody's paying the same percentage or whatever, but you know,
and everybody's not
in Kelly's world.
Yeah. I think we should. Right,
I mean, I think works out that rich people are paying more.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm making, you know, $100,000 a year, and I pay 10%. Then I'm paying whatever that is. I can't do math. And then the person who's making $1,000 a year, they're paying 10%, and that might be $100. I don't know. And then, you know, we're still all, like, relatively feeling the same, like, hit to our pockets because we're each giving 10%. Right. But at least as the rich person, I am giving more money into the pot.
Yeah, it's kind of offensive. Like, I remember reading maybe Mitt Romney pays, like, a 14%, slightly less than 14%. And then, like, I think they were saying that somebody's secretary paid, like, 22,
23. Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of, like, I was going to say, like, I don't want to, like, totally give the one-sided thing. I mean, I think the biggest issue is that the people with money have the access to the accountants or whoever that can give the loopholes. Yeah. And they get all these, you know, deductions for their businesses and, you know, different things. And that's, I mean, that is kind of unfair because, I mean, there's all kind of shit you can write off if you have a business.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, not that person, then you're just getting all of that extra money taken out of your check. But
I also feel basketball players and football players and anybody who's in the entertainment business make too much money and don't.
I would agree with that.
I'll say 95% don't do nothing.
That's a topic for another day.
Right?
Yeah, that's a really awesome topic. Because I feel like people say this all the time about, like, athletes in school. Like, why is it that you get to, you know, go to school for free or get so many perks or whatever, and then, like, you have a straight A student who maybe doesn't get as much.
Well, college is different.
But I feel like you're making the school money.
Right, college is different.
But I feel like in the NBA, you are making them money.
But I mean, you're making, yeah, but you're making what? The NBA money?
Yeah,
I
would rather you. Salary.
But I would rather you make the money for the school than to make the money for the NBA. And I mean, I guess this falls into what you're not really doing much of anything. Yeah, you're making money for someone else, but what is it that you're really doing to contribute to, not contribute, to have that amount of salary?
Like, if you think of the amount of money that the NBA makes, you are paying them a slight portion of all that the NBA or any pro, you know, NFL or whatever. Like, I mean, they're making billions.
I don't think it's fair. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, when people say all the time, like, teachers, they're the ones teaching these motherfuckers in the begin with, you know, and so they should be getting paid. Like, if you had no teachers,
well, where's the money gonna come from?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Like, I feel like I totally agree, but I feel like the reason why an athlete can make so much money is because there is money that they are making for the person who's paying them. The teacher, even though I'm not, teachers are fucking awesome, where would we be without them all, but they're not making anyone any money. So there's no money in the pot for them to be paid from.
Well, then if that's the case, then when I was teaching, I taught LeBron James in second grade, and he wouldn't be who he is without me, so I should be getting a check in the mail.
From LeBron?
From NBA, because he wouldn't have been there. You see, I mean,
but I feel like that's, I mean, realistically, you taught him, and I don't know how smart he is, so let's not go there, because, I mean, come on. But, you know, he didn't really have to show up to class. But, you know, I just feel like, literally, you're any employee is getting paid based on the money that they are making. I mean, somebody who works for like a law firm that's making billions of dollars, they are making, you know, 6-7 figures. Mm-hmm. Versus somebody who's working for some other company that doesn't have that much money. You're not making that much money because your company doesn't have that much money. So it's like, I don't...
Well, damn it, I don't think it's fair. I get what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying, which is why I have to stop at this point and just say it's not fair.
It would be nice, you know, if people would feel like, oh, you know, so-and-so did this great deed for me, and now I'm about to, like, break her off, like, all this money because she taught me. But
we'll revisit this on another Sunday. So, write it down. So going back to strippers,
the we question should never is, escape them.
Ratchet time. Rummy listening?
I know, right? The question is, could you date someone with a past? For example, a stripper or a porn star or somebody who sex tape leaked to World Star Hip Hop or wherever. Sex tapes leak too, if you're not famous.
I would date Kim Kardashian, yes. Yes, I would.
Why?
Not why. Not that lazy ass performance.
There was, yeah, the performance was very bad.
Lackluster ass performance.
We can work on that. That may not have been her
forte. Trey J gave his all. I would like to see Trey J. It was
that. Something
was totally worked through that whole situation on his own. He did all the work.
That may not have been her forte. We can try other things that maybe she
I mean,
for
that. That was several years ago. She might have improved since then.
Well, Chris Humphrey wasn't asking for shit. Want nothing to do there. Maybe Reggie Bush taught her some things. I'll say that.
At any rate, I personally could not date anyone with any sort of past that you named. Stripper, porn star, sex.
Oh, I also forgot, smash the homies.
Smash the homies. I could not do that either. It's funny, I actually was just talking about one of my boys. I bumped into him a week ago or so, and he had wifed a chick that several of the homies had smashed. And it was kind of interesting because, like...
Oh, do we know this person?
No, I know. I was scared.
Okay. But, so it was kind of like one of those things where this is like sort of like end of high school, beginning of college, that the smashing happened amongst all the group. And then everyone kind of went away to college, and then we come back, and then it's like, wait a minute, you're like living with her. What's going on? And then, so a couple years go by, I bumped into him a couple weeks ago, and he said that he broke up with her, and he was just like, I couldn't really like... deal with knowing that all of my guys fucked her. And like, bogusly. No, but like, I mean, you know, like,
not that it matters.
Right. So like, shady smashings, like, backseat smashings, like, stairwell, alley, like, you know, like, busting down. Not just like, I had dated before, but like, you know, whatever. And so, and I don't know if he was just kind of saying, like, if ever there were to be some sort of argument, debate, like, joke session between him and the guys, any one person could say, and I smashed your chick, and he would have nothing to say in return.
He needs to work on his decision-making skills.
Yeah, I don't know what that would be
about. Well, wait, can people make mistakes and grow up? Like, can't, you know, like, things...
I don't think she should have to live under that whole umbrella for, like, the rest of her life or anything, but...
I think it really depends.
Like, ew.
What does it depend on?
Well, let's say, okay, let's say you didn't know that none of your homies smashed. And, you know, you've been with this girl for like 5-6 years. Then all of a sudden you find out something.
You're
in love with her. You're probably married or whatever. And like 5-6 years later, you find out.
You would be walking around side-eyeing her all fucking day. You would be like, oh, I don't know about you.
As soon as the show goes on, I got some questions.
No, I'm just... But let's go back to like men and women that go with each other, and let's say the guy cheats, but yet most women will forgive the dude.
Well, but right? Okay, but that's different. That's different.
How?
Because I mean that's like a present occurrence. You know, that may have been like the first time that happened, and that's something that you deal with right then. But we're talking about people with like a past, like they have a history. And I do think when you said it depends, what I thought you were gonna say, do people know? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if you meet some chick or whatever, and apparently she was, like, this major hoe, like, wherever it was she came from in her hometown or whatever, but nobody really knows that here. You're the only one that knows that. Would you be able to date her? Like, is the issue that other people know?
Yes.
And see, now that's the whole thing.
If by far is.
if it was common knowledge that all my boys hit or whatever, like, they were, like, tossing her around or whatever, like, no.
Her out.
That's
and she can move on to
friend.
Some other person.
When I say it depends too, is you never know anybody's situation or whatever. Because there are some people that will do it, and there's some people that just won't do it. That'll tolerate it or whatever. Everybody's different.
Wait, that will tolerate what exactly?
You want this?
I was
planning on. I'm the only one who did not have one.
They're trying to grab that peanut butter crackers.
I lost my whole train of thought.
But everybody's situation are. Choices are different, and that's why I say it depends.
Fine.
No, me, I wouldn't do it. No, but hey, the next man will do
it. Anybody like is really gonna like get into a serious relationship.
But I know somebody. Who married the girl after he knowing that
your
homie, all the homies smashed the same day or whatever.
It's the same day.
But yet he married her.
So what are his feelings?
Is he faithful? Is he not cheating?
He's not cheating.
Well, good for him.
See, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's different.
Actually, bad for him.
Okay, so what about like a stripper? So what if, you know, y'all were chilling in the club, there was a stripper. You know, y'all get, numbers get passed in the strip club. I've gotten a couple myself.
Besides but numbers.
Oh, what I'm saying is numbers get passed. So then what happens if you like then show up and it's like, oh, this was the chick at the club, but she's my girlfriend now. So, like, is that all right? Would you be able to deal with that?
I couldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it.
Why not?
I love y'all strippers out there. Make your money.
Think we all love you. Yeah.
But yeah, in my head, in my mind, I don't want nobody seeing you doing whatever, or you know.
But it's just a job. It's just a job.
No, you a hoe.
She's not a hoe.
She's definitely a hoe.
She takes money.
You
wait, why does she have to be a hoe?
Because she's fucking.
Because, yeah. $50, you can do whatever you want to do. $50, you a hoe.
Yeah.
I might as well go on these streets and get these hoes.
What? There's always a reference about these streets.
These streets and these hoes.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean, for the most part, unless you're at Magic City or King of Diamonds or whatever, there's not a lot of making it rain happen. There's not a lot of money being made on the stage. You have to make the money in the back. Which is why, if you go to someplace like Arnie's, not that I've been, if you were to go,
20 times.
More women will be in the back than on the stage. I've walked into Arnie's and we've waited a good 20 minutes to even catch sight of any stripper. Because they're
okay,
in the back.
Okay, so as I am not a strip club connoisseur.
$10.
Yeah.
Please explain. Okay, so.
Wait, how do you get here?
We have answers. Let's do it.
Okay, so you go to the strip club and there is a back area. Like, do they really buzz down in the back area?
Yes.
Like,
they buzz down in the back area.
Yeah.
Like, not all clubs.
Arnie's 99% of clubs do it.
So it's definitely like a situation where you can pay, you know, to have the chick dance right there in front of you, like out in the open, like get off the stage, come dance.
$20. So now that's for the
that's
public.
Just regular lap dance.
We went to the back and had one time.
Yeah.
Can happen in the
so
back.
Then you
the back has different names.
So then you go, you can pay more money to go to the quote unquote back room where you get the private dance. So you have the lap dance in the public and you have a private dance in the back.
Definitely.
And there's like, you know, places to sit. It looks kind of like a booth all along the wall, but no, you know, like just a one-sided booth or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then you have like various people sitting in different spots getting lap dances.
Mm-hmm.
And in Arnie's, I've never been to the back room in Arnie's, but in Arnie's, I've known of someone who was like gotten a dance in the back and looks over and can see like somebody else, like a chick is riding dude, like actual sex or giving head or whatever.
There are two rooms.
So you've
that
been in the back of Arnie's.
Oh, and the pause.
The pause happened.
The pause tells it all. That was a very deer in headlights moment for you. So,
I want to shout out Bradley, the righteous one on Twitter. He is commending me for my breakdown of Kim Kardashian's lackluster performance on the sex tape.
You know what? We're gonna leave her alone.
Go ahead.
You guys don't understand my love.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I don't always understand it either.
But then,
okay, continue.
So
back
to
you in this back room.
Nah, flat dance, that's it. But besides the back rooms,
he don't even know where to go.
They'll give you a card or say, yo, you know, come out to my house or, well, I'll come out to your house, I should say. I'll come out to your house. I'll do private shows or, you know,
do this, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely that, like, you know, when you bring, you know, like, have the strippers come to the house for bachelor parties or whatever, then there's definitely going to be the regular little show in the living room or whatever, but then there's going to be the option to go into another room, bathroom, whatever, and...
We all saw Players Club.
Yeah, but she got raped. That wasn't the same.
Me and these strippers, we all know.
Period. They're definitely fucking. Maybe not everybody. I don't know every stripper in the world, of course, yet. But a lot of them are definitely having sex for pay or doing some sort of sexual favor. And definitely a lot of chicks are asking to come home with guys. I mean, but that's just on some choosing. Like any woman would be at the strip club and see a man that she might like and want to just go home with them. Not on some, like, paying for sex, but just on some, I see you out, I think you're attractive, when I get off work, let me go home with you. But that's a, I mean, chicks are choosing at the club all the time anyway.
They are.
But yeah, I don't know how we got here, but these strippers are definitely having sex for money. Oh, so we got there because this is why I couldn't date a stripper. Because
they go.
She's a hoe.
Oh, God. So, alright. So the other thing was sex tape. Like, if there was some random sex tape incident, are we going? Can we date that person?
Were you in a relationship with
that? I could, because I feel like a lot of people do the whole, I mean, if it was a situation where you were in a relationship with the person in the tape and it unfortunately leaked somehow, then, you know what I mean, like, you're only human.
It is what it is.
Because, I mean,
so then that's a mistake that we shall forgive. We will forgive that. Right, that passed.
I don't even know that it's necessarily passed. I think if you are fucking in your relationship, as most of us, all of us are.
What if she wasn't in the relationship though? What if it was a guy that she met and she was kind of feeling, maybe went out on a couple of dates with? They did it like a sex tape when she was super wasted. They were super wasted or something.
I'm okay with that.
And it leaked.
I'm okay with it. I mean, because I feel like it's common that we are having sex with whomever we're having sex with, and we sometimes send naked pictures. Hopefully we're cutting our heads off on the picture or whatever.
Indeed.
But we're sending naked pictures, we're perhaps filming the sex, but we're not in the tape with 20 people running a train, hopefully. Or we're not, you know, we're just filming sex. And I feel like that's, to me, that's not a past, or that's not like you're a hoe because you taped yourself with one person that you were fucking.
So the past is, I mean, we're kind of looking at it sort of hoe-ishly, like, in the past. But what if the past consisted of something like, well, I had two kids, but they were taken away from me? Like, what if it's a past like that? I'm just trying to move
on.
Right, because we're kind of just talking about, like, you know, mostly, like, sex type stuff. But what about if a person has a past, they have a past. So
I try not to date anybody with kids.
Me as well. So whether or not they got taken away,
Red.
I'm still not going.
If they got taken away,
you were doing some bullshit. So that's definitely worth
it. I probably was doing some bullshit, yes. So what are your thoughts?
So I'm not going. Because I don't want to date anybody who, you know,
would risk getting there.
Right, but like somebody who, like, has a serious criminal background, somebody with some sort of drug habit, like,
definitely
I'm not going with.
Is there a time limit? Like, so if you meet me and I'm, like, 30 and this occurred when I was, like, 23, does that matter?
Are you still, like, okay, I feel like I don't want to date you if, like, let's say you're a quote-unquote recovered alcoholic and now you can't drink ever because, you know, that's how that goes. I don't want to deal with that, or I don't want to deal with you're going to AA all the time and you have, like, your sponsor at the... Like, I just don't want... that. I would rather, you know, like, no shade, and good for whoever is
recovering.
Yeah, who has recovered, handled their business, whatever. It's just the same thing with kids. It's not like there's an issue with somebody with kids. It's just I want a clean or as clean slate as possible. So I don't want to deal with the other parent or the other whole family or this kid that is kind of my kid but not that I can kind of help raise but kind of don't have that much input because it's not my kid. Like, just all that.
My issue with dating guys with kids is that I always wonder, like, why are you not, like, with your kid right now? Like, whenever they're with me, I'd be like, dude, you need to, like, hit up your baby mom or something.
I mean, it's funny, like, this kind of reminds me of when we were talking about relationships a couple weeks ago. And to me, this all kind of boils down to what I said a couple weeks ago, which was relationships are hard enough. Like, why do you want to add
the extra?
Extra bullshit. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you like Kelly said, okay, so AA, like, good for you, but that's like an added element in our relationship, and relationships are already hard enough, and so now we have to try to, like, navigate through this shit too. No.
Right, now I gotta worry about not being able to go with you to the club because you might.
And we're clearly all alcoholics, so we.
Too much. Now, what? Yeah, I mean, okay, so we're getting at the age where, you know, we might have kids or whatever, and it might not be a successful, you know, situation. You know, so of course you got to leave that alone or whatever, and then you're looking for somebody for yourself or whatever. But you have a kid now. You know, like, you got to just.
I'm just not a fan of
something
kids
that can't happen. And it's not even. I mean, we know there's, you know, a lot of relationships that are not doing well out here, and it could have even been someone that had been married. We're old enough at this point to have been married and had a kid at a respectable age or whatever, and then it didn't work out, and damn. But I mean, still, like, in terms of preferences, I'm like, we out here looking for thick girls, or we looking for blonde chicks, or we looking for
the older you get, the
likelihood.
You're right. The likelihood that you're gonna meet a guy.
So should you settle?
Kids. I mean, it's not subtle. If you feel a guy, like, if you have a great connection with that person, the kid don't mean nothing. Like, it's all about the connection.
I would agree with that, but that doesn't mean I don't avoid that situation if...
It's accepting a flaw.
I feel like, but I wouldn't, like, obviously if you are really into the person, then you can't help it. But I feel like I would be limiting my interaction with you or whatever when I know that you have a kid, just like with anything else that you might know you don't want to deal with. If you come across someone that you find out they smoke weed and you don't like that, or they, whatever, they didn't finish high school, or, you know, whatever it is that you look for people and you say, oh, I don't really like that. Mm-hmm. That for some of us is one thing. Okay. We hear you have a kid that just happens to not be my thing. You could be a great person, but it still adds an element to the relationship that you might not want to deal with. And I feel like, you know, I mean, like, I know of people who are dating people and they're kind of in that situation. They know that they're not ready for kids or whatever, and they started dating the person anyway. And now here they are in this relationship that they're stuck being somewhat of a step parent or dealing with this kid that they didn't really necessarily want to deal with. Because it's like, you kind of would have had your own kid if you wanted a kid. So the fact that you haven't taken that step yet, you know, it's because you weren't ready yet. And now you're kind of like forced into that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I get that or whatever. But like I said, like, we are definitely getting at the age where if you're still out there dating or whatever, and if you want to talk to somebody your age, like, it's
it's very rare
likelihood.
Avery's basically saying, y'all chicks need to chill and realize that, like, it's only going to be, like, 2 black men in this world. No kids.
I mean, I said that about women, too. Like, I mean, there are, like, half the women that I went to high school with have kids now. You know what I'm saying? So
Avery went to Kenwood,
by the way. I was about to co-sign your statement, but since I also went to Kenwood, I'm going to
just
I don't have any close friends with kids without husbands, but I went to Winnie.
I have one close friend with a kid and no husband, but she is from Connecticut, so it's not a Kenwood Whitney Young thing. Don't let her fool you. But otherwise,
that's why it's a hard one, because I would go with a woman who has a kid or kids.
Yeah. I mean, kids are.
I mean, you ain't gotta be ashamed. It's all right. It's all right.
way.
I think there are.
I do the one. I don't know about the others.
I think there are issues where it can be like situational, because I have dated a guy with a kid before, and you know, he kind of placed that assurance in my mind that he spent all the time he could with his daughter. And more often than not, when he was, his daughter didn't live here, but when he was in Chicago, he would hang out with me. And then when he was any other place on vacation, his daughter would hang with him. Hi, Shell.
And what Broncos are taking offense to my statement about how fast and ratchet the Kim of women are.
Trust me, you're not fast and ratchet.
I will say that Chaz
might be a little ratchet.
Is sitting here. She is a Bronco, and she does not have a child. And then my friend Michelle at Shell's is winning has weighed in. She does not have a kid either, and she is a Bronco.
Well,
so fine. 2 out of 500.
So yeah, let's also don't forget, you know, tweet at La Rock Box so we can make this a whole conversation, because I would love to see this stuff pop up on the timeline. So,
all right, what about a porn star?
I mean,
that goes beyond the leak sex tape. Now you're like into like,
I feel like, whole status. See, again, that's very much, yeah, that's whole status, and that's just, ooh, I don't even want to.
What say you, man?
I would like to mess around with one, but not wipe one up.
You know, I wouldn't even want to mess around. Like,
what's kind of interesting though is like when we think about, okay, we don't want a stripper, we don't want a porn star, because we're thinking about their hoes and how many people they've had sex with. I mean, low key, the average person on the street could have had sex with as many people as these strippers.
But like, but repeatedly, like, how often is this happening? The word loose just comes to mind.
There's nothing wrong with having sex.
There's nothing wrong with having sex, but I don't know. Maybe
you know what Jay told me one time, because I was calling this girl a hoe. I still think she's a hoe. However, he was saying, what if people think that some of the same things you do are just as hoe as what she does?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was like, that was an excellent point to make.
Yeah. I mean, people are out there with some very high numbers. Their body count is very high. Mm-hmm. And we might be surprised.
But now this is the thing. What's the definition of a hoe? Because everybody has everybody has a different definition of what a hoe is.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to break it down to.
Okay, so let's say
a loose woman.
Let's say this: a man has sex with three different women a whole month. So it's 12 months
in a year, a lifetime.
Are we agreeing? Well, let's say he's been having sex since he was.
There's definitely a double standard.
Let's say he was having sex when he was 17.
Okay,
17 on up.
What's his number?
It's three girls a month.
17.
Right,
how old is he now?
Let's say, let's say 35. Let's say 35.
He's 35, so.
Because Wild Cows is doing the math.
And they have
18
times 36.
So it's over
200.
Over.
Where do we get
36
from?
Really? Three a month. There's 12 months. 12 times 4, 36.
Okay, 648.
Check this. 600.
Whoa. That's just a low number.
Three girls
a whole month.
Three different girls a month is not a low number. Fuck that.
What?
35.
There are more for in reality.
So you are three different women.
In reality, there are guys
each month.
I'm just saying. What? In reality, there are guys who've done more girls in a month.
I know. Well, I think that I can see you fucking three girls per month or whatever. Like,
but
the same
girls,
right? But like three
different
girls
every month.
That's just unacceptable.
In reality,
but what's kind of realistic though would be like, okay, let's say that you're out and you meet a chick and you date her for 3 months before you realize it's not going anywhere and you've got to move on to the next. That's not really crazy, right?
No, that's not.
Okay, so let's say you have sex with. Because no one's having sex with just this one chick. So let's say two chicks. Two chicks every 2 months for the same time period. So for 18 years.
That's
still a high number.
It's still a high number.
I mean, that's not really
no
that
No matter
high.
What.
Well,
in anyway,
the issue
situation.
Isn't... Okay, this to me is the issue. The issue is that you're doing this every month. Okay? Because in theory, like... Do you have a significant other? Are you cheating on the significant other and doing the same thing?
Looks like you're not single.
Especially in college. You know.
So you're banging out three chicks every month for 18 years. And you don't see a problem with that?
No, I see a problem with it, but yet.
Who wouldn't see a problem with
okay.
that?
Yeah, but in reality,
here's a more realistic
there are a lot of guys who.
More realistic. Okay, so one of my friends was talking, you know, somebody we all know, whatever. Was talking to a girl, someone we all know.
You don't look at me.
And the girl said, at the time, I think she was like 23 or whatever. And she said that she had started having sex when she was 18 or 19. And later on, she had told my friend or whatever that she had been with 20 guys.
Okay. From 18 to 23?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we can stop there.
I remember I was having this conversation with a whole other different crew of girls that I knew at the time, and they were talking about, like, we were talking about going to Vegas, and then we started talking about how many guys they had had, everybody had had sex with, and they were talking about, like, hitting blackjack, like, 21. And I, at that point, I was like, 21? Like, dude, what are y'all on? And they were like, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, no, y'all already admitted it now. Like,
see, I don't know. For me, you guys, you know, I teach sexual health in the schools. And so when I hear those numbers, I'm just hearing chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes. Like, that's all I'm hearing. So it's just.
What if you're using condoms?
It's.
You can still catch.
Let's talk about some skin-to-skin type foolishness. Well, I don't care. I just. Well, all I'm saying is that. The more sex you have, the more people you have sex with, more than likely. And so that's just what kind of like rings in my head. And it's like, motherfuckers is out here, you know, playing like Russian roulette, and it's just disturbing. So maybe I need to get off that.
But that's reality, because it is out there.
What's a number that sounds, you know, realistic but not ho-ish? Or what's the highest number that we think, you know, if there's someone who started having sex when they were 16, I think that's kind of... common.
I was older.
For people. I was slightly older too, but
I was way older.
Okay, well, let's say
way older.
Let's say 18.
Okay.
To be, I mean, that's not even realistic, especially
it's not. It's not.
17.
No, I mean, you were on the money when you said 16.
Okay. 16. No, so 16 years old, and you're now 30. And so, what would be like an acceptable number in your mind? Men and women.
I think for women, I would say, and I'm kind of surprised at myself for saying this number, because it's a little high, I think still, but I think 30.
Oh.
30?
I wasn't going there.
This is my logic.
That's 14 years.
That's okay. 14 years. It's a little over to a year.
Oh.
That allows for you to have a six-month relationship of some... substance but then with each individual.
Yeah. I gotta think you have a relationship problem.
Yeah, if you can only
every
do six
months.
Yeah.
Well, what if you're not in having 6 month relationships? What if you are single?
I was thinking
like that could allow you to have a 3 year relationship and then still leave you 11 years. And then clearly after the 3 year relationship, that first
college,
year you out here bogus because you're heartbroken.
In college, you know, whatever.
I don't know.
So what would you say?
I don't know. The number, I would think, God, I'm not the right one to have this conversation. because I kind of want to be like 10, but I'm going to go with 15.
So one person a year.
Yeah. And really, I'm making room for the like long-term relationship. I feel like you can still have like a three-year relationship with the same person and then not completely wild out during those single years or whatever. But so that's just me.
Me? I mean, I would probably be a little bit more on board with what Jake said. Because I think, I just don't find 1 year to be realistic. I feel like there's going to be a lot of, like, there's going to be those long-term relationships that hopefully you're only having the one person. But then there's definitely going to be a couple of time periods where you're having sex with, you know, at least you're having, you're dating two people at the same time. So you might be having sex with two people or something like that.
I'm not an advocate of that.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, people are out here having sex with, they're not dating, they're just out here casually having sex.
See, I guess that's where I'm not. I think you should have a go-to person, and everybody needs to have a go-to person.
I agree. You want to have a go-to person for, like, 11 years?
So what?
And you're not in a relationship?
But you know what the deal is. Awesome. You know what the deal is.
I just feel like the likelihood of you being able to keep somebody for that long where they haven't gotten into a relationship or they haven't gotten sick of your shit and realized that they're the go-to person, like, you got it. probably going to have a few go-to people in the span of 14 years.
I mean, which is fine. I just feel like I would rather you have, like, that smaller number of go-to people than to have a larger number of randoms.
I want to know what, how many do you think is reasonable, Brett? Do you need a few more minutes?
Thanks. I feel like what we're not taking into consideration is that a lot of times people are out here, like, actually getting to know people and dating them and mm-hmm. having sex with them because they've been dating for, you know, a few months, and they're not, like, you know, they're not just casually having sex with random people, but it's like, literally, if you come across somebody and you are getting to know them, you have been on, you know, a date a week, and then after 2 months, which is probably longer than in real life, but if after 2 or 3 months, if you have sex, and then, you know, a few months later doesn't work out, like, I do think every 6 months isn't a crazy turnaround, like what Chaz is saying. If you're genuinely out here meeting them, getting to know them, whatever, then that would put you at kind of a high number.
So 30?
And you could have like literally only been dating one person.
I don't want to know how many people you slept with.
We're waiting on your number, okay?
Okay. I agree. I don't want to know how many people either. I don't think.
Reality.
That's all another topic.
In reality, I'll say between... between 15 to 20 in reality.
Is this for women?
Okay. Ah. For women. This is for women.
For men.
Damn.
Are you sweating over there? Are you sweating over there?
Exponentially increased.
Men, knowing men, guys have high numbers.
What? Okay. Guys, is that
guys do have... It's no. It depends on the person.
I think it's even though. I think it should be 20 is the high. If you started at 16 and you're 30 now, I think 20 is acceptable.
Okay.
You know, hoping that it's lower.
People aren't even taking into consideration.
I hope that it's lower.
Like,
I hope that it's lower.
People are really like, oh,
I hope that it's lower.
You're not being honest here. You're not.
I mean, not being
threesomes in the span of 15 years. You just added 6 people or 4 people. Right, I mean, you've added 4 people like that.
Very true.
And don't fuck around and have like a foursome.
Again, I think most men have high numbers, but women, I prefer not to know because I don't want to know. I prefer you not to ask me because
if she told you,
I don't want her to tell me. And I've always said this for years: do not tell me. I do not want to know. I'm not going to ask that question. Don't ask me that question.
I don't want to know.
Are you because okay? that stuff might be bugging my head. I might know, you know, I don't want to know this stuff.
Would you allow someone like one threesome in a span of 15 years?
Of course.
Would you allow a one night stand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you allow like a wild ass like second semester of college?
I allow anything once.
I think there are a lot of exceptions. Oh, that's a good point. That there are... The problem is patterns, I guess.
Well, because I feel like if you are, like, allowing a one-night stand, a threesome, a wild-ass semester, that right there could be 8 people.
Yeah. Easy.
Very true.
And then now you're
talking about... anybody you've actually dated. And
exactly. And if you're allowing people 15 people, and then they just knocked out half of them in, like, one threesome and one semester and one one-night stand.
Boom.
Yeah.
Oh well, and that's just a fair.
So 15 to 20 is the vote.
Yeah.
Is you guys vote for women? I think 30 is more realistic.
The good news is,
but this is what we would prefer. Low number, a really, really low number.
Everybody would prefer. So,
but in reality, we do think that.
Go for men. What's a reasonable number for men for the same 16 to 30?
I feel like all men are hoes. Like, I feel like men go through this period where they're just fucking anything. And so I feel like that number is just... Right, yeah. Some never, like, get out of that phase. But I feel like they definitely hit that phase more than women.
So yeah, I don't think you can even, like, expect for, like, a guy to have any good sense when he's 16, 17. It's when he's just started fucking...
Shit, when he's in college. Like,
but, yeah, I mean, right. Like, you don't even have, like, a concept of sense, in my opinion, when you're, like, 15, 16. And then when you get into college, you have a concept of what makes sense, but you don't give a fuck.
Sense is not happening until after
30?
Yeah, 30. So I feel like, you know, without a doubt, those first, like, at least 16 to 20 is going to be just straight tomfoolery. So, someone is checking in with us on Twitter.
Yes. Chill. So, Shell said 16, one per year, is reasonable. One person for women?
I feel like
16 is, like, 15 to 20 is too low. That's not reasonable to me. And I'm not saying that I am an advocate of even that many, necessarily. However, I don't think that's realistic.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you have to account for different types of people, too. Because clearly at this table, it's different types of people. So there are going to be some people who aren't having the wild times in college or who didn't have the threesome. You know, so, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things, like, how kids are always like, well, everybody's doing it. And everybody's not necessarily doing it.
I have a question. What if, okay, so Rev, what if you met this girl and she's like, yeah, I've only had sex with three guys, but, you know, I
can't believe him.
I don't give him.
wait, number three.
Okay, she said, I've only had sex with eight guys, but I don't give head and I don't do a vast array of other sexually explicit things
that you might like.
Would you still
I know girls like that, though.
That's not okay.
It's not okay.
Nah. It ain't okay.
I do know girls like that. But to me, sex is about pleasure. You pleasuring your partner.
It's about all these. You can pleasure yourself. Let's, you know.
Yeah, you can, but.
But well, I prefer. You get pleasure from pleasuring your partner. Okay, gotcha.
And I hope my partner, you know, I want to please my partner. I want my partner pleasing me.
So here we are.
No one likes a selfish
partner. Here we are where the men like magically want the women to possess these skills, but they don't want them to have done.
To
master the fucking skill.
But okay, but you can master the skill with just sleeping with one person.
That's true. Yeah. But if that one person, okay, so say you're prudent enough to say, well, I'm only sleeping with this many people, so in theory, maybe they only want a person who's also slept with this number of people. And then everybody's jacked up because nobody knows anything.
I feel like most women know that the men, their number's going to be higher, period. I don't even think that that's anywhere close to realistic to expect, you know, to say, like, as a woman, I've only dated, you know, I've only had sex with five people, so that means you can only have sex with five people. Like, I want to find, you know, like, that shit's not even realistic.
Yeah. I don't want to know, and don't tell me, you know, I don't want to know how many people you slept with. I'm not going to tell you.
Who had sex with only five people is probably not allowing as much leeway as the chick who had sex with 20 people.
And furthermore, what is sex?
Oh, man.
If you are, you know, giving a little head in the car, is that sex? Yeah. Like, I'm just saying. I mean, because there are a lot of people, when they think about these numbers, there are certain shit they don't include.
I have heard some wild theories of how people decide who to add to their number or not, and you all would be surprised. Like, I know people who feel like, with the person one time, then I'm not adding them. Or if this person gave me head, but I didn't give them head,
don't count.
Like, it's just all kind of shit.
Fingering, right? And all this other, it's like,
yeah. I mean, it obviously Project is more X. interesting with different sexualities, but especially women, like lesbians, they will like choose to not include a whole lot of stuff that should probably be included.
Interesting.
Or it could be, you know, not quite straight girls, who have boyfriends, but then they're dating women, or not dating, they're fucking women.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't count. Like, that doesn't go on the number because it wasn't, like, for real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
Would you date somebody with no experience?
I would. I thought about this. I did think about this. I think it will never happen in my life, but I would.
Well, you're too old. We're too old now.
I know, that's why it would never happen, unless it was like a youth, and I can't do a youth.
I would.
Can we discuss for next time the concept of, like, virgins and waiting till marriage and celibacy or whatever, and like, what if someone decided mid relationship they wanted to be celibate, and like other nonsensical ideas.
Wait,
I was
so,
joking about
wait.
That being nonsense. No shade to people who are trying to preserve the cookie.
Never mind. We'll talk about that next week.
It's rare to find a girl who's a virgin who's, let's say, 28.
I know. I saw this super fine dude who was a virgin at this purity conference I went to with my stepsister. He was
purity. What is a purity conference?
It's for the youth, for the little kids, so they don't have
it's
sex
a support
before
group.
They're, yeah.
It's a support group.
You know, it's where they all go and they do empowering things with each other, and then they say no sex because Jesus said not to, or because you'll get an STD. It was more Jesus said not to, but
that's nice. I'm going to Google that.
I mean, I have one you can attend. I got a t-shirt and everything.
I'm not interested in attending. Nor would I be allowed in, I'm sure. But.
Ah, touche.
I'm going to read.
Okay, we're just going to move on to the next topic. We were going to talk about types of people, but Rami's not here.
Oh, we should probably hold on to that one.
Yeah. And he wanted to discuss that. So.
But. Yeah, because types of people, that can mean so much.
It was very open-ended.
Well, yeah. My favorite segment, love, hate. The love, hate segment. That is one of my favorites. So, movies that are terrible, but you love them just the same.
Belly.
That's a good thing.
Belly is a hood classic.
Belly is awful. It's so good, though. I mean, I went a full, like, probably, like, full semester watching Belly on the screens of one of my friend's trucks. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, like TVs in the truck, and we would like ride around either with like a flip plane or Belly. I mean, like, I know.
I never understood that concept of riding around with the flick playing on your.
I don't really get it either, but I mean, to our defense, we were in school in Romeoville, Illinois, and there wasn't shit to do, so we would like. Get in the truck to watch movies and drive around or whatever. But yeah,
to feel important.
I love Belly. It has a special place in my heart, but it's really awful and poorly written. Mm-hmm. It looks great though.
It's actually pretty cool looking. The lighting.
The whole intro was dope.
Yeah.
And they came in a club.
Shout out to
Mike
Williams. He's a genius. But yeah, the movie was bad.
Okay.
That sex scene though.
Which one?
DMX.
The one where
gave her the business.
Okay, all of the business.
Sorry.
Okay, so mine would have to be Purple Rain.
What?
Let me
Purple
just
Rain?
Say
that movie is
okay.
A great movie.
Now wait. Okay,
that
hold
movie
on.
Is a great
let me
movie.
Get it out. Let me get it out. That movie's terrible. And the thing about it is, if you remove the soundtrack,
I'm mad now.
Hear me out. If you remove the songs, if you remove that portion, there's really not much of a story happening there. There's really not much of a storyline, like a
it's
whole
like
bunch of
Prince
shit, just does not make
with tight
sense.
Suits, and then
the movie
he's
is
and
the music is what guides that movie. Period. If you were to take that out and you look,
but
at
that's like saying. If you take out all the funny scenes from Coming to America out, it
would be. Well, but I mean, you're acknowledging that it's a comedy. That's what it is. It's made like for the.
And that's like that's what Purple Rain is.
Well,
the name of the song is Purple Rain.
I thought that, you know, there was the whole situation of him trying to make it, and then Moore's Day and the Time kind of like being the like antagonist, and then you had the little love story, and then you had the backstory of his parents and the abusive relationship.
Nothing
and
made
you
sense.
Sex scenes.
You
had her purifying herself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Their whole relationship, their whole relationship didn't even make sense. Like, it was like all of a sudden, like, she's lusting after him, and he's like, "Get on this bike, girl. I don't have no name."
Right,
you need to
and
get
I'm
it.
Believe you.
Like he's there as a kid. Like, you know, it's just.
None of it made sense past the point where she, like, jumped in the water and then he
drove off.
I was like, bitch, please!
Right! Yeah, I mean, seriously.
That was awesome.
But that's what they used to do back in the days.
Okay, at the end of the day.
Get in my car. Get in my bike.
At the end of the day, we are all agreeing that it's a movie that we love. That's the thing. It's a movie that we love. But in my opinion,
I don't love that.
It's not, well, I love it. People say, like, what's your favorite movie? And I will say Purple Rain. But I have to also acknowledge the fact that outside of like the music, like I'm sitting there waiting for the band to go on because ain't shit else happening.
I'm gonna watch this movie tonight.
Okay.
Classic.
All right. All right. Wow. Chiggity. Man.
I love all the Indiana Jones movies.
Oh man,
those were good though. Were they really bad?
They are crap.
Well, not all of them.
I could look at them and be able to realize, like some of the scenes. I'm like, okay, this is totally not realistic. The acting is terrible. I like the movies anyway. I don't care. Okay. And any movie with Kevin Spacey is good. I don't care what you say.
He's awesome. I like him.
He's the boss.
Oh, I have another one. The Bodyguard. That movie is horrible. I thought it was pretty cheesy.
What did she say?
But it's so good.
I didn't say don't put
no, the partner, the sister is like, I would never hurt the baby. Would never hurt Fletcher.
Fletcher. That's the name, Fletcher.
It was horrible, but it was so good.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your movie, Red?
I probably would have to say, is it rain?
No.
Oh. Armageddon.
What? Oh, I cried. That's.
I don't know. It was just
when he went off the Tyler? Screen. Yes. He went off. Like, when he went off the screen, and she was like.
You know, I can say I like Bruce Willis. Bruce that Willis, you did your job. And I can understand he went out like a G.
But
Ben Affleck made the movie horrible. That whole...
Well, he was just, I was going to say he tends to do that, but he did pretty well with The Town, so...
Yeah, The Town.
I'll give it back to him.
But to me, he brought down the movie, but Bruce Willis had to keep on, you know, bringing it up.
Avery, do you have one?
Any 80s movies, but Lost Boys.
That, I love
that's my joint, yeah. But oh my god, the acting.
Corey. You know what? Corey Hines.
Yeah.
I got the movie too.
Corey's, yeah.
There's a movie that is actually one of my favorite movies. I love it, but it's actually a pretty bad movie. It's the one with Chevy Chase when he gets pulled over in the town with Demi Moore and like Tupac.
Oh, yeah,
was in
Nothing
it.
But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble. Nothing but trouble. I love that movie, but it's crazy bad. Like
I got that DVD at the crib.
Crazy bad. So, anywho, what else? Anybody else got any?
Okay, one of our panel members is leaving. So she's out.
I'm sorry, guys. Boo. I love you all. Mm. I'll be back next week.
You can show us in Miami. Hold on.
The Warriors, but I love everything of that book.
All the Twilight movies.
Oh, but I don't love it, though.
Twilight.
Is just,
but
yeah.
I do love them. I don't.
Yeah, but it's movies.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Bring in semantics.
All right. Well, Twilight, yes. Like, I had a very hard time watching that movie because it was so much, like, angst. Like, the way he would,
and
like,
they didn't
look
have
at
sex.
Right, yeah, they didn't have sex. It was like, please just have sex because you're driving me crazy with all of the looks and, you know, oh, I can't be bite. Oh, smell that. Like, it was just too much. So that's a movie, yeah, I don't know what these kids are out here thinking, but it's terrible. And the next one I tried to watch, what was the next one?
Breaking Dawn or something like that.
I don't know, but I tried and
then
I fell
turns
asleep.
Into a vampire?
I felt, no, there was like another one.
Oh, what, she's in the movie?
No, because he wasn't, Edward wasn't there. Like, it was just...
Oh, yeah, that was...
Wolf Dude.
Part 2 or Part 3?
Part 2. I kind of fell asleep on that. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. So, where are we?
Would it be okay to date a best friend's ex?
Never.
No. I'm not for that.
Never. Ever. Not even 10 years later.
That's a bro code.
Oh, we have a maybe. All right.
That's a bro code number 3. You don't do that.
So Avery has a maybe. So explain that maybe.
So just imagine like you all are all friends and, you know, your two best friends dated or whatever. And their relationship didn't work out, you know. But you're still cool with the girl or whatever. And, you know, a couple of years down the line, you know, you all start having an attraction for each other. I think it's fine. But I would have a conversation with the male fan first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, you got to give it that respect.
Right.
But then, yeah, what if he says,
nah.
Then,
I can't.
That's
then better. What?
Because how would you feel if he did the same thing?
I think it's only unacceptable if I didn't know her before they were dating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if I knew them if I knew her before they were dating, I don't think it's, you know. I mean, you give it time, whatever. Not like, you know what I'm saying, still or nothing. But, you know, if it's been years down the line, then why not?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's, as with many other things, situational. Like, I obviously, you know, if my best friend broke up, for the record, Jillian, if you are listening to this, I will never date your boyfriend. Never. I take it back now that I reconsidered.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. And it's tough because, especially, you know, like when you're best friends with somebody, you know, you kind of got some little similar tastes and stuff happening. And so it's like, man, too bad you got that one because I would have liked that one. But it's yours. Mm-hmm. It's yours. It's all right. Like, seriously, like, that's kind of my thought process. Like, I can definitely say, like, if this person had not dated my best friend, then I would go. Like, that'd be great. But since this person has, you gotta just, like, take the L, like,
I wanna say it depends on the level of their relationship. Like, if they were together for, like, some years and it didn't end well because of something, whatever, I'd probably pass. But if they were cool, like, you know, if they were just like, it didn't work out, we're dating maybe a couple of years or something, and years later I see this person, hey.
But what if they smash?
Of course they're going to smash.
Okay. Well, if they smash, and then, you know, I mean, you still going to feel that same way? You're not going to think like, okay, yeah, my homie hit that. Going back to our first question, our second question.
Well, no, I don't think I would think that. I mean, I don't think I would think that. Like, I don't really know if that's the part that would bother me. I just think, like, it would just be awkward for me.
I think it would depend, like, for one, I agree with Avery, I would have to have a discussion before anything went down with my, you know, best friend to gauge how they feel about it. But if they were like, yeah, it's cool, I'm on to this with this person, I'm straight, I'm not even tripping, or even if they weren't on to something, they were like, no, we're good, you know? I would take it slowly, obviously, but I would be opposed to it.
I lost a friendship from that.
For smashing the dudes?
No. I wouldn't do that. But if... I think my whole thing was, it was a respect issue. If you're feeling a certain way, tell me.
Were you consulted first?
I wasn't consulted.
So you took offense to not being consulted.
And my whole thing with anything is a respect issue. From friendship, love, or just whatever. It, working at a job, or just doing whatever. It's respect. That's the number one thing. So, if you feel a certain way or whatever, be respectful and be like, hey, I'm feeling this way, you know, and I know they're feeling this way, then I'm going to be like, okay, cool. I'll move on. I'm not going to hate or, you know.
Move on that easily?
It depends.
Me, I would move on. I couldn't. Now, when I say I lost a friendship, it's just the respect thing just lost. Because now I'm like, okay, since he did this, What else is he going to do? Is he going to go behind my back and do this or do that, you know? So it's like...
See, and this gets tricky when you're talking about, like, the lesbian community because it's, like, so small to where, like, people have pretty much dated. Like, it's really hard to find somebody who your friend hasn't smashed or, you know? So, well, but I mean, it's even smaller. So at least, like, there's, like, a larger pool. Because I feel like even if people do it, and then it's like, well, I mean, the pool is small. Like, that's kind of the excuse. But it's like, at least the pool is a little bit larger. To me, when you're dealing sort of, like, in the straight community, there are more options. So it's like, why do you have to be with this person? Like, there's other options out there, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever. So.
Yeah.
Good news is we're all on the same page about that one, so we can move on.
Be okay to date best friend's ex. I kind of wanted to discuss this earlier, but okay, so every so often I hear guys, like, they'll be talking about, like, a lesbian chick that they find super attractive. And then they'll be like, I turn her straight.
That's just guys talking.
I think that, you know, a lot of that has to do with, like, sex. Like, I think basically what he's saying is, like, I can hit that more than anything, you know? And so the assumption is that if a chick, you know, if a lesbian, like, has sex with a dude, then she's straight. A lot of people equate things with the actual act of sex.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, she might not be straight. She just had sex with you. Maybe she was in the mood. Maybe she wanted it. It doesn't necessarily mean that she wants you for the long term. You know what I mean? Or that you are her primary preference. But I think when people say that, it to me, it just means, like, I could hit that if I really wanted to.
I just think no matter what, can't nobody turn anybody straight, gay, lesbian, or whatever.
I agree.
It's all a choice.
I've never understood when people say that. Like, it seems like a really ignorant thing to say to me. Because it just assumes a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. But everybody said, I think everybody assumes.
It's an ego thing, and people like a challenge, and so it's like, oh, well, here's a person who has, you know, created this boundary, and I'm gonna break through that boundary, whatever it is, because I'm so fucking special and hot, and you know, whatever. So.
But that's our mentality.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all. I think that's all it is. And I think that ultimately, like, you know, it's not being said because you really like that person and you want them to be with you. It just, it's sex. So it's not like, man, you know, this person, she's a lesbian. Like, I could turn her straight so that she could be with me because I really just like her that much.
Right.
It's like, no, this is a challenge. She's created this boundary. I'm a breakthrough just to say that I did. And I think there was an episode of Jersey Shore, if you watch Jersey Shore, where Vinny, there was like, these two lesbian chicks in the club, and so he's like, man, I'm about to bring like these two lesbians home, like this is amazing, like this is crazy, like the girls were completely busted, they weren't even attractive at all. Not that they only bring home attractive women, because they don't, but they were total grenades, and he was just still like, these are lesbians, like I have to do this. And it wasn't so much because he was attracted to them or because he liked them, it was like, these are two lesbians that I'm about to have sex with.
You are now tuned into the lounge on the Rock Box Radio.